Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. Last weekend I spent a lot of time focused on the resource sector and a lot of the junior stocks in terms of especially precious metals. So on this weekend's show we're going to switch a little bit more for a generalist focus simply because in all fairness there are a lot of sectors that are moving sideways and are relatively boring, but the U.S. equity markets, they have bounced recently over the past week and a half, let's say. And there's also been this very interesting rotation. It's not just the high-flying tech stocks that are leading this bounce for the U.S. markets. I'm kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's start with this rotation in the stock market. What are you seeing here?
Well, yeah, I think that's the what we're seeing in the stock market is trying to discount what the future is going to look like a year or 18 months from now. So, you know, one of my favorite investing quotes comes from Stan Druckenmiller, probably the greatest hedge fund manager of our time. Said never invest in the present. You have to visualize the situation 18 months from now. Whatever that is, that's where the price will be, not where it is today. And so the market, you know, is right now trying to discount what things are going to look like a year, 18 months from now. And if you look at China, you know, China's probably a good example of where we're going to be a year or 18 months from now. In China, they've had no, virus cases, COVID cases in the last, couple of months. And they're seeing travel just open up like crazy. I mean, hotels are sold out. You can't get flights anywhere. All the tourist attractions are really going, gangbusters again. And so, if that's what things are going to look like, 18 months from now, spring of 2022, I think there's probably a good chance by then that we've actually gotten through this pandemic to the other side of it here in North America. And if that's the case, then the same thing's going to happen where a lot of these sectors that have been really hammered by the pandemic are going to be coming back, in a big way. And conversely, a lot of these stocks and sectors that have benefited dramatically, think of all the lockdown stocks that have benefited from the pandemic. You might think of Netflix, Peloton, selling tons of bikes to people who can't go to the gym anymore. Zoom, obviously, it's amazing to me that Zoom, as Lee Gehring pointed out on my podcast this week, Zoom and ExxonMobil trade at the same market cap, $140 billion. Zoom trades at 100 times sales. ExxonMobil trades at almost, a little bit more than one half times its sales. And so I think you're going to see that, those two stocks might exemplify what I see coming better than anything, which is we're going to rotate out of these pandemic stocks, these lockdown stocks, and into the things like energy that have been hammered the hardest.
So stuff that we will actually use when, I guess, people get back to some sort of normal life. But Jesse, do you think that people in North America, after living through what really is one of the first pandemics in a long time, that they are going to come back to what they used to do and to travel and to really get out as much as they used to?
I think there's going to be actually pent-up demand for a lot of those things. I think once it's clear that it's safe to go to a concert again, to go travel again, I think that there's going to be a lot of, 2 years of pent-up demand for those things, and it's going to just explode once people know that it's safe to go do that again. People really do, aren't going to stop traveling. People, might not go back to the movie theaters like they used to, but, people are going to go back to concerts and things like that because they've just missed that for the last, year. And by then, 2 years plus. So I do think there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. Those things are going to, look at how many people were still signing up to go on cruises when the pandemic was in full force. So you imagine once we're given the all clear signal, the demand to get back on a cruise ship is going to be huge. So I think, you know, the demand for those things is there. It's just, you know, it's being suppressed. But like I said, the market is going to start discounting those things today. The market's not going to wait until we have the all clear signal for people to go back and do those things, for those stock prices to start really rebounding. And to me, energy is the most, you know, interesting of all those, because it has become so, it's the most hated sector in the market right now. And probably, like my friend Jason Gefferts pointed out, might be the most hated sector of all time.
Hey, fair enough. You look at what has happened in energy. Yes, it's been in a downtrend. But what about that balance of the moves, the skyrocketing moves that we've seen in clean energy and solar ETFs?
Yeah, I see. You know, another good example of that is, I think it's NextEra, you know, big alternative energy company, just passed ExxonMobil in terms of market cap, even though, you know, the revenues, you know, and profitability historically and stuff is just so much huger in Exxon's favor. But that's a perfect sentiment signal. There's so many sentiment signals right now that, to me, are the types of signals that you see at major turning points. I mean, I think back to me, the oil stocks today remind me so much of the gold mining stocks 5 years ago in 2015, when gold was the most hated asset class on the planet. And you could buy the miner stocks at, you know, less than 50% of their liquidation value. I remember looking at New Gold and Gold Corp and these things, and they're trading at less than 50 cents on the dollar on their liquidation value. There's a lot of energy stocks that, you know, are essentially trading at very similar valuations. And it's because of the widespread antipathy towards them. You know, back then we saw the Wall Street Journal call gold a pet rock. The Economist recently asked, is this the end of the oil age? And it's almost the exact identical story or headline that they ran in October of 2003, literally right before oil went from $30 to $150 a barrel over the next few years. So when you see this type of sentiment, it's, to me, it's a screaming buy signal. We also, I mean, another good example is, you know, we look back at, what was it, the dollar. You know, back in 2007, early 2008, some people might remember, you know, Gisele Bündchen, the famous Brazilian model, saying, I won't be paid in dollars anymore. Jay-Z, same thing. I will only accept euros. The hatred for the dollar had gotten so extreme because the dollar had, you know, fallen from its 2002 peak to 2007. It had fallen, you know, like 40% or something. And so when trends get that obvious, where you have celebrities saying, I won't take dollars anymore, it's a screaming buy signal. And, you know, Justin Bieber's latest music video, he plays, there's like a whole section in the middle of the song where he's, you know, like acting as if he is a worker at an oil field getting laid off. So you have, you know, back in 2007, you have Jay-Z, you know, like flashing euros in his music video instead of dollars. Same thing. Bieber today is, you know, saying basically the oil sector is synonymous with pain and suffering. And to me, it's a screaming buy signal.
So then where are you focused in terms of oil companies? Is it the producers? Is it the pipelines? Where is the sweet spot in your eyes?
It's really both of those. I like the oil and gas, the exploration production companies. I think they are you know, some of the cheapest in the sector right now, just because they're so highly leveraged to the oil price. And everybody thinks oil is dead. Everybody thinks oil is never going to go back up again. And, you know, there's a supply and demand case to be made that we actually could see another energy crisis over the next you know, over the next several years. And so if that's the case, oil price is going way back up, you know, potentially back over $100 a barrel. And the oil and gas producers are going to be the ones to benefit most from that. But also, you know, you're right about the infrastructure companies, the pipeline companies. These things, a lot of them are paying, you know, 8-10% dividends and higher. And those are sustainable dividends. It's amazing to me that in a 0% interest rate environment, nobody, you know, people are shunning this 8-10% of, you know, sustainable income from a lot of these stocks. And, you know, by the same token, in terms of the whole energy sector, it's incredibly ironic to me that we have a Federal Reserve that is literally decided, dedicated to creating inflation. It's essentially the opposite of Paul Volcker 40 years ago saying, I'm going to break the back of inflation no matter what it takes. We have Jay Powell saying, I'm going to create inflation no matter what it takes. And what's the best way to protect yourself against inflation? It's commodity stocks. And the oil stock is the most hated sector on the planet at a time when you have the most powerful central bank in the world saying they're going to create inflation. So it's just, to me, a screaming opportunity.
All right. Well, hey, Jesse, always interesting comments and a bit of a divergence from some of the other stuff that we usually talk about. But one other question, though, you have a timeline here of 18 months. You said spring of 2022. That's a long time for investors, and a lot of people, they're looking for returns now. So how are you balancing that timing aspect?
Well, that's my point is so the, you know, the market is going to start discounting today what the world will look like 18 months from now. That comes back to that Druckenmiller quote that I was pointing out. Is if you invest in the present, you're going to get run over. The market right now is pricing in the pandemic will last forever. That's why you see stocks like Netflix and Peloton and these things. And a lot of these, to be perfectly frank, I'm short a lot of these stocks right now because I do think the market's going to start discounting. People getting back to normal. We're going to be avoiding Zoom calls as much as possible and doing things in person as much as possible as we can, 18 months from now, just because we're tired of being, doing things virtually and being locked down. So to say that 18 months from now is when the returns are going to happen is, I think, dead wrong. The market's going to start discounting these things today, what the world's going to look like 18 months from now.
All right. Hey, Jesse, great chatting with you. Thank you again for taking some time on this weekend show. And just a little food for thought, everyone who thinks that this restart just isn't going to happen, or you know what, it will take some time. But yeah, that pent up demand, you have a good point that people do want to get back out. So when they feel safe to, when they're able to, man, that stuff could really take off. Jesse, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks. Always a pleasure.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.